blessed us. Hallelujah. It's the very way we can enter now into the throne room of God. There's that much power in the blood that all my sins, all my shortcomings are removed. Hallelujah. What power in the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Praise God. Please remain standing. Scripture says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for rebuke, for instruction, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And the individual I'm going to bring up to you, I met when we were both around 11 years old, and he had just received the Holy Ghost, and he could not keep his nose out of Scripture. Longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, you couldn't pry him away from that. He was reading it. Someone would say to him, "That's the longest chapter. Why are you reading that?" He'd say, "I just love it. I want to read it." And I brought him to you because he can help you to better come closer to God and to better be a Christian before God. A wonderful example, not only for the youth that he oversees in Oregon, but he's been an example and a model for my life. So I want to introduce to you Stan Gleason, Oregon City, Oregon. Praise God. Come minister.
Amen. Praise God. What's up, HYC 2011? It is an honor and a privilege to be with you here at this youth convention. I've been looking forward to this for a long time now. Thank you so much, Brother Glover, for those kind words. Appreciate him very much. We have known each other for a long time now. His grandparents actually attend the home church that I grew up in. And so he would come out to Oregon and visit every once in a while. I had a chance to get to know him. And I appreciate him very, very much. I don't say that lightly. And I appreciate his family very, very much. Have been great influences and blessing in my life. And so it's so great to be here with friends and so good to meet Brother Scott. We had dinner last night together and had a chance to talk with him a little bit and hear about the awesome things that God's doing in that city that he is pastoring. That's so exciting. And it's just great to be here in Alaska with all of you. I'm so excited about what God, I believe, is going to do in these next couple of days. And I'm just, amen. I've come with great anticipation and expectation of the mighty things that I believe God is going to do in Jesus' name. Again, it's just so wonderful to be here. Thanks so very much for the invitation from your youth committee and the opportunity to be here, the approval of your district board, and just a pleasure and honor to be here. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse number 36. Luke 7 and 36. One of the gospel accounts here. This is a story that maybe many of you are familiar with. And this struck me just a couple of months ago. And I believe that God has a word for us here tonight from the book of Luke chapter 7. In verse number 36, I'm just going to go ahead and start reading, and you can catch up when you get there. The Bible says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And then jumping down to verse number 44, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman with ointment hath anointed my feet. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. And then I want to read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15, and I'm just going to go ahead and start reading it. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Would you just pray and ask God to anoint us as this word is preached? Lord Jesus, we're asking right now for your anointing to come into this place. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch our hearts. God, don't let us leave here the same way that we came, but I pray that your Spirit would sweep in, that we would be changed before we leave this place. God, let the Holy Ghost begin to move and speak and change things in us. In Jesus' name, we're believing, God, for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for it, Jesus. In your name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Would you clap your hands and let's just give God one more great big worship and praise. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think you can do better than that. Let's just give him the praise that he is worthy. So worthy of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. We read Hebrews 4 and 15, and I just want to quote it to you again in a little different way, but it's maintaining the meaning of the verse. Basically, it's saying, we have an high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a God who is approachable. He is not untouchable, unavailable, inaccessible. But we have a God who literally is very concerned about the intimate details of our life. He's interested. The Bible indicates that he's moved with compassion when we come to him and begin to talk to him about the things that are going on in our lives. So the question tonight is not, is God interested in having a relationship with us? But the question tonight is, are you interested in approaching him? Are you interested in reaching out and touching him? Are you interested in having a relationship with God Almighty? In the story that we read in the book of Luke, we see an incredible contrast between two individuals. The one, the Bible names him as Simon. He was a Pharisee. And we see that the Bible is very clear to point out that he really wasn't interested in drawing close to Jesus and reaching out and touching him. It does say that he was interested in being around Jesus, but he really didn't have a desire to reach out and touch Jesus. It makes it very clear that when Jesus came to his house that he did not wash his feet. He did not kiss him. He did not anoint his head. Now, you have to understand that back in that day, in that culture, that was just common courtesy. That when you had a guest in your house, that was just something that you would do just to show hospitality to somebody. the rudeness that this Pharisee demonstrated in this story would be similar to if somebody would come to your house today and you would refuse to allow them to wash their hands at a sink in your house or something of that nature. But this Pharisee, it's very clear to point out that he wasn't interested in reaching out and touching Jesus. But the woman, on the other hand, really that was the only reason that she had come to that house that day. She had come with one purpose in mind. I know that Jesus is here, and I'm not just interested in having a casual encounter with Him, but I've come to reach out and touch the Master today. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight on this subject. I touch. We have a God that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's approachable. I don't know why you've come to this youth convention here tonight. There may be a myriad of different reasons why people have come to this youth convention. Maybe there's some guys that have come and you've got your eye out and you may be looking to see if there's any nice looking ladies here at the convention this weekend. Can I get a witness? Come on, just admit it. That's all right. I'd rather you'd be looking for a girl in the house of God than anywhere else in the world. Maybe there's a young lady and you've come and you've got in your mind, well, I'm going to be with some friends here and maybe I'm going to pick up some fashion tips that I can take home with me and use throughout next year. I don't know all the reasons why you've come to youth convention this week, but I think that on this very first night, at the outset of this youth convention, that we ought to make up in our mind and determine in our heart that the most important reason that we've come to this youth convention this week is to reach out and touch the Lord. I may experience a lot of neat things this week, but I know one thing for sure. I don't want to leave this place until I've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Oh. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You can be seated. The first thing that I notice in this passage of Scripture is that this woman who reached out and touched Jesus brought a box with her. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, did you bring a box with you tonight? Every time you come to church, you ought to bring a box with you. What was her box? Her box represented her worship. Or in other words, when she came to see Jesus, she had already predetermined before she ever got here, I've come, and I've come to worship Him. Before I've ever walked through those doors, I've already made up in my mind. I may do many things while I'm here, but one of the things that I'm going to be sure and do is I've come to worship Him. Ask your neighbor, did you bring your box with you? The Bible says when we come to church, we ought to bring an offering. Now that offering can refer to a lot of different things, but for the point of this message tonight, that offering refers to our praise. Before I ever walked through those doors, I already made up my mind. I've come to praise Jesus. I've come to lift up the name of Jesus. I've come to worship Him. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You may have brought a lot of things with you here tonight. You may have brought a lot of junk with you here tonight. You may have brought a bad attitude with you here tonight. You may have brought an addiction with you here tonight. You may have brought a sin with you here tonight.
You may have brought a lot of things. And can I just say that if you have brought something that doesn't belong necessarily in the house of God, I'm here to tell you that's the best place that you can be with whatever it is that you've got. Because you're in a place where you can be changed. You're in a place where you don't have to leave the same way that you came, but by the power of God. Don't run away from God when you find yourself in an embarrassing situation, but run to the house of God. Run to the presence of God. You can be seated. There may be a lot of different things that you brought with you to the house of God here tonight. But I can tell you, I'm thankful for those that have brought their worship. Those that said, I was glad when they said unto me. Not mad, not sad. But I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's some of you, you've been waiting to come to youth convention. You've been waiting for months. I can't wait to get into the house of God. Because when I come, I've come to worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. And the Bible says, Psalm 100, verse 4. What does it say? It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. There's some of you, you're not waiting for the musician to get wound up. You're not waiting for the preacher to preach you a pretty little sermon. You're not waiting for the drummer to start thumping on the drums. But you've come and you said, I've come to enter. I'm not going to wait until halfway through the service to get my praise on. But just as soon as I come into this house, there's going to be a praise in my mouth. There's going to be a praise all over me. Hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. When I was a teenager, I came home from service one day and I looked over at my mom. I said, man, that was a dead service today. My goodness, it was so dry and boring and awful. And I started just going on and on about what I thought about the service. And she took that from me for just a little bit. And then she looked over at me like only a mother can. And she said, well, what are you going to do about it? And it was right then, I was about 16 years old, that I got a desire in my heart that every time I come into the house of God, I've come to fill God's house with praise. I'm not going to wait until Johnny starts jumping. I'm not going to wait until Paul starts praising. That may never happen. I'm not going to give somebody else power to rob my praise from me. But I've come with a goal in mind. I've come to fill God's house with praise. Folks, if we're going to take all the time and the energy and the effort to make it to the house of God, we ought to make every service the very best service that we've ever been to by filling His house with praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can can be seated. Bring your box with you when you come to church. Hallelujah. The second thing that I notice in this story is that reaching out to touch Jesus is more important than eating with Jesus. Pharisees like to eat with Jesus. The Bible says in this passage, it says, this Pharisee desired that Jesus would come to his house and that they would sit at meat together. But Pharisees aren't interested in reaching out and touching him. They're not interested in drawing close to him and wiping his feet and anointing his head and drawing close to him. Pharisees love to feed on the word of God during the preaching. But when it comes time for the altar service, they're looking around. They lose interest. They're just looking at their watch. When is all this going to end? I'm hungry. I can't wait till we go to Burger King. Get us a hamburger. We go to, what is it called, Bone? Lucky Wishbone. Come on now. That was the best burger I've ever had in my entire life. Can I get a Lucky Bone Wishbone fan in the house? Come on, Pharisees like to listen to the word of God. When everybody else is standing up, they may even stand up a little bit. They may even clap their hands a little bit. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. I've been there myself. I know what I'm talking about. But when it comes time for the altar, I have no desire to reach out and touch him. I have no desire to draw close to him. Oh my God. You know what? Preaching is wonderful. The Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching that the lost will be saved. And I'm thankful for preaching. But more important than the preaching is when you respond to the word of God that has been preached. You know what I wish? I wish that there were some young people in Alaska that this week, during the altar call, that you'd be slain in the spirit, that we'd have to drag you out of here, that we'd have to pick you up. You couldn't even control yourself because you desire to touch him. God, give us a hunger for you like we've never had before. The Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall, everybody say shall. They shall be filled. I'm telling you, if you'll get hungry for God, God won't disappoint you. It'll be better than any video game you've ever played in your life. It'll be better than anything you've ever done in your life. It'll be better than going to the ice skating rink and doing some ice skating. I'm telling you, there's nothing like entering in to the presence. Oh, hallelujah. You can be seated. Third thing that I notice in the story is that direction is more important than position. Jesus in this story, it's very fascinating to me. He defends the sinner and he rebukes the saint. But wait a second, Jesus. I don't know if you've got it straight in your mind what's going on here. Jesus, can I just instruct you in the way more perfectly for just a moment? You should be sticking up for the saint. You should be down in the sinner. No. The saint's the one, after all, Jesus, that's paying the bills. The saint's the one that's putting money in the offering. The saint's the one that's faithful to church. The saint's the one. Come on now. Wait a second, Jesus. You got it mixed up. You got it wrong. What are you thinking here? But direction is more important than position. What's the Pharisee doing in this story? At this moment, not what he had done in the years past. At this moment, what's he doing? He's criticizing. What's the sinner doing? Not what she done in her past. What's she doing at this moment? She's worshiping. Maybe you had an awesome year this last year. Maybe you've been an example to us all. Maybe you've done everything right this past year. That's awesome. Congratulations. I'll clap my hands for you. I'm not even kidding. I'm serious. That's awesome. Praise God. That's wonderful. But where are you right now? What are you doing tonight? Are you playing around on your phone? Are you looking at your watch? Come on, I know I'm not the best preacher in the world, but this is the house of God. We're in the presence of God. What are you doing right now? I've come to worship Him. I've come to worship Him. You can be seated. Maybe you had a horrible Gary last year. Maybe you've embarrassed God. Maybe you've embarrassed your parents. Maybe it's been so bad you've embarrassed yourself. And you've come into this sanctuary and your head is bowed low. And you can hardly even sit here without feeling so much conviction and so much condemnation. You know what? I'm not interested in what you did last week. I'm not interested in what you did this afternoon. I'm not interested in what you did all this past year. Where are you right now? You have to bow your head in shame. You can stand up and worship God with the best of them. That's not hypocritical. His blood can wash away all my sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Whether you've been in Christ Jesus for a year or whether you've been in Christ Jesus for 15 minutes when we prayed the prayer of repentance 20 minutes ago, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all of that sin. And you can raise your hands without fear, without doubting. God doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. Where are you at right now? Direction. What way are you facing? Is way more important than how far you've come. Your position. What way are you facing tonight? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says Joshua 16:24. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you've chosen to serve God today, you've got every right to worship God just like any other one of us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can be seated. The fourth thing that I notice in the story is that when you reach out and touch Jesus, you'll believe in His power. The Pharisee who didn't reach out and touch Jesus said, if Jesus were a prophet, He would know what manner of woman this is that toucheth Him, for she is a sinner. He said, if. When he lost his faith in the fact that Jesus was a prophet, he cut off the prophetic power that Jesus could work in his life. But now, look at what Jesus says about the lady that worshiped him, that drew near to him, that wanted to reach out and touch him. What did Jesus say about her? He said, thy faith hath saved thee. I'm telling you, worship has an effect on your faith. We heard it tonight. It's time to start activating some faith in this place. What's the best way to do that? The best way to do that is to begin to magnify the Lord, to begin to worship Him. The more you know about Him, the more faith you'll have in Him. The closer you get to Him, the more faith you'll have in Him. And I close with this. This is my last point. You can stand. The last thing that I notice in this story is that when you reach out and touch Jesus, it will change you. This woman that came to Jesus, the Bible says she came as a sinner, but she left forgiven. In other words, she left changed. Pharisees aren't interested in reaching out and touching Jesus because Pharisees aren't interested in being changed. I've got a question for you tonight. Have you come to reach out and touch Him tonight? Have you come to allow Him to change you tonight? Come on, this is the most important part of this service right here and right now. What have you come for tonight? I know for me in my house, I've come to reach out and touch Him. I've come to be changed tonight by the power of God. And I don't care how you walked into this place tonight. You don't have to leave the same way that you came. I hope you're hearing me right now. You don't have to leave the same way that you came in this place. I know that there are some people that are sitting here under the sound of my voice. And I know this is an apostolic youth convention. And this should, and you'd think, well, this could never happen. But I'm telling you, there are some people that are sitting under the sound of my voice where you're living a life that you're so sick of. You're so sick of the way that you've been living, the lifestyle that you've been involved. You're so fed up with it. And you've come here almost in desperation. Well, maybe I'll just give it one more shot. Maybe I'll just come to one more youth convention. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to leave the same way that you came in here tonight. Huh? But you can leave changed by the power of Jesus' name. She came in a sinner, but she left forgiven. She left changed. There's just something about the presence of God. I'm going to tell you, I can't explain it to you. If you've never experienced, I could never explain it to you. But when you enter into the presence of God, there's a change that begins to take place in you. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? That means that if you've came here and you've had desires for worldly things, you've had desires to get involved in things and you're so sick of it, but you can't get out of it. It's a vicious cycle. I'm here to tell you, when you enter in the presence of God, you delight yourself in God. God literally removes those old desires. And He gives you new desires in your heart. You don't have to leave here the same way that you came. I'm here to tell you, God's power can change you. Is there anybody here that you want to be changed by the power of God? If you want to be changed by the power of God, I want you to, just as quickly as you can, with your head up high, I want you to come to this altar right now. I want you to throw your hands up in the air, and I want you to begin to cry out to God. I want you to begin to cry out.
Here I am to all.
change taking place. It's happening. It's happening. Yeah. I feel it reaching out. I feel it embracing us.